In Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's assigned reading from the narrative lectionary seems like an odd choice for the third Sunday in Advent. In this season, we are prepared to hear readings from Old Testament literature that perhaps speak to this coming Messiah, or perhaps speak to a return of this Messiah in our New Testament readings. We perhaps look forward to the stories of Elizabeth and Mary. Elizabeth, great with child, a child named John, who will later become John the Baptist, greeting her cousin Mary, who arrives with good news of this impending birth of a Savior, and Elizabeth's womb leaping with joy, the child within it leaping with joy. These are the stories we anticipate, stories like Mary and the news that comes to her from the angel that she will indeed be the mother of the Savior, and maybe even stories about John the Baptist proclaiming, "Prepare a way for the Lord." Well, hopefully you are not too disappointed, as on Wednesday nights at our drive-in worship with Holy Communion, we have had a little taste of John the Baptist just a couple of Wednesdays ago from Pastor Jason. And this Wednesday, a teaser, we will hear Mary's Magnificat, that beautiful song of praise Mary sings upon learning she has been chosen to be the mother of our Lord. But here we are. We find ourselves in this Advent story today of a building program that is about to resume for God's people. King Cyrus is who takes center stage in our reading from Ezra. In this time of Advent, we often hear the name King David, but here today we are focused in on a time in the history of God's people when King Cyrus would rule. He would become a Messiah of sorts to the people because he announces good news to them, news that Solomon's temple will be rebuilt. There is really no way to fully explain how welcomed this news is, because it is a fulfillment of hope. But suffice to say that it is a sign that God is fulfilling God's promise to his people. The rebuilding of this most sacred space is a sign of the Messiah who will come to dwell among God's people, and their expectation has been long. The destruction of the first temple held great pain for God's people and included a time of exile. But there was always hope that someday it would be restored. So our Old Testament reading today in the narrative lectionary helps us to look back at a moment in God's history among us in this salvation story that unfolds, but it is paired with a New Testament story that may seem a little bit out of order as well. For now, the child has been born, the Savior, the Messiah promised, and is being presented in the temple. But looking back at times and looking forward allows us to see the fullness of the story with a new light. Here in this part of the story in our gospel today, Simeon, a devout Jewish man, has been waiting because the Spirit has told him that he will not die until he sees with his own eyes this gift of a Messiah. And Mary and Joseph bring the child into the temple, the same temple that was rebuilt in this reading from Ezra, into this temple, and there is Simeon, who then can see and behold that God's promise has been fulfilled. We hear Simeon's song today, his great song of praise for this promise and this wonder that he can behold. And so we have then paired today an Old Testament looking back for a people who are longing to see with their own eyes a place that held the presence of God. And then we hear a story in our gospel of a person who not only sees the presence of God, but the fullness of God, and even holds that God in his own arms. So then perhaps the placement of our reading today, Old and New Testament, isn't so out of order after all in this Advent season. Perhaps the placement of these readings today is an opportunity for us to reflect on our own expectations, large and small, when it comes to our calling as Christians. For what do we hope to see? What do we hope to hear and experience in the gift of a Savior whose birth we will soon celebrate? This will be a Christmas like no other. Many of us have already adjusted plans and expectations. These stories from the Old and New Testament give us pause to consider God's faithfulness, even when expectations are awry, even when we are waiting to see with our own eyes what the future may hold, and we trust in a promise fulfilled. Perhaps this is an Advent when we can consider where we are looking and where and how we are listening for some good news. How is it that we have renewed Advent anticipation? And for what do we long to see? It was in October of 2018 that my husband and I had the great joy of leading a group of 41 members and friends of Bethel on a trip to Greece. As with many of these group travels, it's important to plan well in advance. And so about a year in advance of the trip, we gathered for a planning meeting and an interest meeting. And already at that point, the itinerary had been set for our journey throughout Greece. It was an exciting trip, a journey that, of course, included highlights of the ministry of Paul in that region of Greece. There were important stops to be made along the trip to remember where it was he had walked and where he had preached and taught. Of course, there had to be included in the trip an opportunity for some cruising and able to see places like Mykonos and Santorini. And it wouldn't be a complete trip to Greece without time in Athens and an opportunity to travel up the hill, the Acropolis in Athens, and to behold the Parthenon. Now, the Parthenon, as you know, is a Greek temple, a temple that had been dedicated to the Greek god Athena. And it is one of those places in this world that you think, oh, if I could ever go there, my goodness, what a sight to behold with my own eyes. Well, certainly there was great anticipation from the group as we were about to leave on our travels that October. Just a few moments, a few days before we left on our trip, the organizers of the trip, the travel company, gave me a call to alert me to the fact that there might be a problem with our itinerary. You see, at times in Greece, government workers will make an announcement that they are going to go on strike. They will even be so kind as to let you know what date they plan to strike. Well, sure enough, there was word that government workers would be striking on October 11th. I thought for a moment as to the itinerary that had been planned a year in advance, and I pulled it out, and sure enough, that was the day we were to see the Parthenon with our own eyes. Add to it, that was also the day we were to travel to Corinth and to see ruins there among the city that Paul traveled in his preaching and teaching. There was great disappointment at the possibility we may not actually see these places after all, because when the government workers were striking, these various sites were closed to the public. I had even imagined our Christmas card that year, Warren and me in front of the Parthenon. And as it came to pass, the government workers did strike. We were not able to see, except through a fence, those ruins in Corinth. We were not able to travel up to the top of the Acropolis and to stand before the Parthenon in its greatness. Now, we did get to see both again from afar, But our expectations had to be adjusted. And in fact, we had opportunity to travel to a museum that actually had the ruins, the actual stones that made up the Parthenon. But how it was for us to have to hope and wonder and then wait to discover, we could only see something from a distance. For God's people, Solomon's temple in Jerusalem was a place they had hoped to see with their own eyes. They had waited far longer than a year, like our travels to Greece. For many of them, it was the possibility of a lifetime, and they waited with hope. Grandparents had told stories. Those who were young dreamed of what it might be like in their lifetime were it to be restored. So finally, with King Cyrus in power, this good news was given to God's people in exile, and they were given the word they could return home, and plans were underway to reconstruct this amazing place, this place that held the presence of God, to restore it to its former glory. We learn that King Cyrus, understanding this to be long-awaited news, sent out heralds to tell of this rebuilding. King Ezra sent heralds out into the kingdom to tell good news of great joy for God's people. Our reading today then captures the overwhelming emotion of the people when this rebuilding begins. The herald of glad tidings would bring tears of joy and shouts of joy. What is produced is a cathartic response to a homecoming for God's people to a land and a place of worship. Ezra records it in this way, "And all the people responded with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and heads of families, old people who had seen the first house and its foundations, wept with a loud voice when they saw this house, though many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not distinguish the sound of the joyful shout from the sound of the people's weeping. For the people shouted so loudly that the sound was heard from far away." Imagine that much joy. Imagine so much wonder, so much of the hope restored as to cause tears of joy, as well as shouts of joy. That kind of expectant wonder, does it fill us yet today as we consider the birth of a Savior? We are in the ninth month of our own time of expectant waiting. We are collectively waiting to see with our own eyes a little bit of light. And in this time of pandemic, we long all the more for that little bit of light and to hear some good news. We have seen everything in our world undone, deconstructed. And many of us are weary. We long for there to be chances to join together again with friends and loved ones, to celebrate with joy and even weep together in times of sadness. Simply to be able to return to something familiar, routines that give us life, fill our days with something other than isolation. We long to rebuild our lives. And so in this day, we hear some good news. We not only hear good news in this time of worship, this past week has held some good news. Perhaps you have seen with your own eyes video footage of the first vaccines for COVID being administered in England. Perhaps you have heard with your own ears the promise from leaders in our state that there could be a vaccine arriving as early as this week and soon distributed in the coming weeks. we are seeing glimpses of light. Henri Nouwen, a Catholic priest and theologian who often reflects on the spiritual life, has written this: "I am increasingly impressed by the Christian possibility of celebrating not only moments of joy, but also moments of pain, thus affirming God's real presence in the thick of our lives. A true Christian always affirms life because God is the God of life, a life stronger than death and destruction. In Him, we find no reason to despair. There is always reason to hope, even when our eyes are filled with tears." This is good news for us today and every day. There is always reason to hope. For God's steadfast love endures forever. Amen.